Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Of our message as well today. But we are going to be focusing on appetites. We all have all different kinds of appetites. This is a very common thing. As a matter of fact, if you skipped breakfast today, you have an appetite right now, right? You have sitting here going, I hope he's quick, and I hope there's something good waiting for me at home, because you are hungry. Appetites are natural, and they are part of sustaining you. Without appetites, you would literally die because you wouldn't eat. Okay? Let's define appetites real quickly as we get going, just so that we are clear on this definition. This comes right out of a really scholarly dictionary. Appetites is defined as a natural desire to satisfy bodily needs. A natural desire to satisfy bodily needs. Now, the dictionary went on to say, such as food and or sexual desires. So I thought I'd give you a choice. This is a pick your choice kind of sermon. Do you want to talk about bodily appetites or sexual ones today? Who wants to choose? You guys are supposed to be a little bit more awake than that today. I'm not going to be talking about sexual appetites today, so all the teenagers are just going to have to go back asleep. And meant to have some eyes go, what did he just say? Did he say sex in front of everybody? Like three times. I did. You're right. We have sexual appetites as a part of our bodily function, as a part of who we are as humans. We have appetites regarding food. We have appetites regarding pleasure and work. We have all different kinds of appetites that consume us. Another way of saying this are cravings or yearnings. If you ever found yourself just kind of craving to be with a friend, to spend time with somebody, that is a certain kind of appetite that is a part of who you are. God has put within every one of us special types of appetites. And so what we have found is that too oftentimes we can overindulge in some of those appetites and become unhealthy, right? As a matter of fact, when I did a little search on appetites, just the general word, I found just as many hits for appetite suppressants as I did for appetite itself. Isn't that kind of amazing? That we live in this culture that recognizes that too much of that is not healthy for us. That we live in a culture that too many of us give in to our appetites all the time, and we find ourselves to be very unhealthy as a result of that. So now the new craze is a chemical way of suppressing your own appetites. And it's apparently quite the rage, because it is everywhere for us. Well, the Word of God uses the power of appetite to speak to us and about our own spiritual appetite that we have all been given deep within us, our own spiritual hunger. These appetites of spiritual things have been planted within each of us, and I believe some of us have chosen various methods, though not a pill like we do for our own food appetites. We have found various ways to suppress our own spiritual appetites as well. So we need to just kind of talk about this today. And my desire is that this conversation will begin the process of opening our hearts to our own need for God to work in us, to fill us, and to move us into a deeper walk with Him. And it could look a lot different for you as you receive these words as it will for me. But I want us all to come to a place where we are recognizing our own level, our own area, our own hunger for God, and come face to face with, are we truly hungry? Are we truly thirsty for the things of God? Proverbs 27:7 is our key verse for today's message. The first read, I really didn't fully grasp its meaning, but as I spent time thinking about it, I was struck by what its message was for us. From the New King James Version, it says, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I'll read that again. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: when you've stuffed yourself, you refuse dessert. But when you're starved, you could eat a horse. I love how truthful sometimes that paraphrase of God's Word is for us. When you've stuffed yourself with everything that you want, you don't want dessert. But when you're starved, you could eat a horse. This satisfied that is spoken of in that first section of the Scripture is the things that we satisfy ourselves with, the things that we put in our lives to try to create a plug for the hole that we feel, that dissatisfaction we feel. And when we are satisfied, we don't often leave enough room for God. We'll illustrate that in just a moment. My question for us as we continue is, do we hunger? Do we have an appetite for righteousness? Do we sit and think about the ways that we are starving for God? Do we have in our own spirit, in our own routine, in the old, our own pattern of living, a hunger for what God wants to do in us and through us, through His righteousness and in His holiness? As pastors, we'll all tell you that there's not too many days that we don't go by, not too many hours that don't go by in our life where we're not thinking about the church, where we're not thinking about you, where we're not contemplating God's work in and through us. As a matter of fact, the weekends are usually consumed in our minds with what God wants to accomplish in this place. And there is this appetite that forms with wanting to succeed in church and having the music play just right and having the message hit every heart. All those things. But quite honestly, even as pastors, it can be very easy to lose our appetite for God. Because when our focus on our hunger is the church and not the almighty presence of God, we're way off. Some of you have an appetite to be here because you know that you'll feel guilty if you're not. Right? So you come to church so you stop feeling guilty about missing a time or two or three or four. But the reality is the church is just a mere reflection of the goal. And if our appetite is for church, that's good, but it's not great. Our appetite needs to be for what God wants to do deep within us. Jesus, as He began His own ministry, very early on, as a matter of fact, as a part of His first recorded sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, says these words about our hunger from Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, not for food, not for wine, not for the things that this world gives us, not for success, but for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I wonder if Jesus was recounting in those words the words He had already memorized, the words He had heard from before time began that came from Psalm 107, where the psalmist wrote, "For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." So I ask you again, is your soul hungry? Is your spirit sitting here today hungry for what God wants to do in and through you? Have you come here today simply to check something off your list, or are you hungry for what God can do in and through you? Because I believe this, the Scriptures are true. And if the Scriptures say that He will satisfy that hunger, I will believe it. But the question remains, are you hungry? Are you thirsty for what God wants to do in and through you? I have a section here in your handout that has a blank at the end of the line. I've changed the front half of this a little bit. This is the truth I believe all of us need to hear. The degree of our hunger is linked directly to how desperately we want it to be filled. Your handout says our hunger will lead us in being filled. But as I began to hone in on this last night, this phrase seemed to make more sense. The degree of our hunger, how hungry you are right now, is linked directly to how desperately we want to be filled. Are you desperate to be filled today? Do you want to be filled today? It is a direct connection to how hungry you find yourself right now. So to be filled, this is an obvious truth, but I just felt like it needed to be said. To be filled, you must first become emptied. You must first recognize there's a hollowness in your spirit. For most of us, this is true. When you know your favorite meal is on the verge of being served, okay? In my house, the favorite meal, one of the favorite meals, because obviously we have lots of favorite meals, but one of our favorite meals is the thick-cut, boneless pork chops that you can buy at the grocery store. And I found this seasoning that's super easy, and I pour it on like there's no tomorrow. And we let that saturate, and then I can grill those perfectly nearly every time. Now, I don't mean to brag, but come on, guys. You got to try these. Don't ask me to do a burger or chicken. Uh-uh. But these thick-cut, boneless pork chops? Wow. And so whenever we have people over, that's what we serve. As a matter of fact, we had some folks over, actually some family over the other day, and Sutton says, you know what? Every time we have people over, we eat the same meal because we've perfected only one. All right? But when you know this meal is coming, when you know your favorite meal is coming, whatever it is, what do you do during the day? Sit and think about it a little bit. You know, I don't skip a lot of meals, but I'm willing to skip a few if I know the boneless pork chops are coming that night. I'll be honest with you. To really enjoy the infilling of your stomach, sometimes we just let it go empty for a while, don't we? We have to recognize that hunger before we can truly embrace and receive that filling. And it's very similar in our spiritual walks. We need to come here hungry. We need to come to church hungry. We need to come to God's Word every day in your house, wherever you find yourself, hungry. Because when we are hungry, God's Word says, then your longing soul will be filled. I want to illustrate this just a little bit today. I've got in front of us a couple of things. You might have smelled something today. Have you smelled something as you came in here today? Does anyone? I've been here so long, I can't hardly smell it. But have you smelt the bread smelling going on in here? That was completely on purpose. So that you would have this strong desire to want to have something, you know? So I've got in front of us just a real simple loaf of bread here that the gnats have obviously found, all right? So some of us, when we come in and our noses take over and we smell this bread, and we might not have even been hungry, but when all of a sudden you smell it, it's like, wow, I really got to have some of this, you know? And so, I don't know, it's just like any of you get really close to it. Sometimes you're like, man, I'm just going to snatch it right out of somebody's hands or go postal on somebody. Sorry, anybody who works for the post office. But, you know, we get hungry. Sometimes our senses just have to take over and we sense that we are more hungry than we really thought of. Sometimes we just get hungry when we smell and when we see and get to experience it. Now, I was going to go so far as to butter some bread up and put some honey on it and really get you going today and make you mad at me. I might have even eaten a few pieces just to kind of tick some of you who haven't had breakfast off. But God has told me I shouldn't do that today, so I'm not going to do that. But I want to talk about the illustration of God filling us up today. This simple goblet is going to just represent our lives today. And this pitcher that's full of water is going to represent what God wants to do in and through us, that God wants to pour His goodness into our life. He wants to fill us up. Right now, this goblet is completely empty, right? There's nothing that, this is not a magic show. This is an empty glass, all right? Now, too often when we recognize that there's an emptiness inside of us, we choose to fill it with things other than God. So what I did today is I went outside in our landscaping and I took some rocks out. These rocks represent things that we put in our life to take care of that void. It doesn't fit in the glass very well, and we know that. We often know that those things don't work, but we do it because we just recognize there's a void. So we have success. There's a spider in here now that came from our landscaping as well. Sometimes it's success, and so we work really hard to fill this void that's in our life, right? Sometimes it's a new boat. because everybody else has a boat. I spent some time near water recently, and I look at all these boats, and I go, I want a boat. Why can't I have a boat? You know? And so we go out, and we get a loan. Thanks for lending money, and we buy a boat, and we do that. Sometimes it's relationships, and so we don't like to be alone. Some of us are that way, where we have to be with people all the time. So we fill all of our time with people, and we just fill our lives up. What other appetites that come to mind? I mean, quite honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do when now that Lost is done, because that was kind of one of my appetites. You know, I DVR'd that bad boy and watched it all the time. I didn't even know what was going on. I had to watch the last episode 5 times till I got it. But, you know, it filled a void in my life. And then I realized, well, I'm not doing too bad. You know, I'm experiencing life. And then I come to church and I say, okay, God, fill me up. So I take what God gives me. And He begins the process of filling me up. But God, being the gentleman that He is, can't do a whole lot by the way we come to church sometimes, just by that little gentle pouring, because there's still stuff that's stuck in the void of my life. So if I were to take this other life, this other comparison, and I would see that this guy is mostly full with my stuff and God filling in the blanks, I would pour God out and recognize that, well, there's just not a whole lot of God there. That the majority of my life has been filled up with my stuff. And so the process of really experiencing what God has for us to really become hungry means we've got to begin the process of taking some of those rocks out of our life and allowing God to fill us completely. Because, friends, where I would rather be is not a goblet that's got some rocks in it and I just let God fill in the crevices. I mean, I really want God to take me, the empty me, and fill me up. And God's Word says that when He does, He'll fill me up overflowing. As a matter of fact, too often, when we keep these rocks in here and we refuse to take them out, even when God reveals them to us, whatever they may be, whatever God is even laying on your heart right now, and we say, God, fill me, too often, something really tragic can happen. Now, I won't do it here because it's going to make a big mess. But sometimes God says, okay, I'll do that. And He'll raise this water up and He'll pour it down, because with enough force, if this water enters this goblet, with enough force, He can force the rocks right out of here. Rivers have been formed by this very process of taking something that's got stuff there and the very force of water rushing through it and removing everything in its path. Some believe that billions of years and the Colorado River has formed the Grand Canyon by that very process. God can, and sometimes does, force His presence into your life like that, but quite often we don't even give Him the opportunity. Because we're constantly putting rocks in, taking rocks out, putting rocks in, taking rocks out, and asking God just to fill in the crevices. Now, I want to be a person. And I hope that you want to be a person who wants to be filled with God's presence in your life. But to be able to fully appreciate God's Spirit working in and through you, the process that's often the most painful is recognizing the other appetites that are already taking over. Too often, the process that requires the most attention in our lives is also the most painful. Sometimes for people, it's an addiction that nobody else knows about. And the process of even pulling that appetite to the surface and seeing it is painful enough. Sometimes it's an addiction on a computer or something that you see, or something that you do, and God forbid, maybe even something that you act on, but you know that that is keeping you from having a full cup. It is an appetite that God wants you to recognize and allow Him to remove, to take it out so He can fill you. Sometimes it's just silliness, laziness. We fill our time and energy with things that just don't matter. But here we are, filling our cup with appetites. And before long, those appetites, don't they? They just take over. We don't even recognize they're there. But the process of taking them out, setting them aside, and saying, God, I want nothing to do with those anymore. All I want is to be filled with You, is a process that we all need to understand its power. Today, as we begin this conversation of talking about appetites. It's my strong desire that God would reveal to us the appetites that we have allowed into our lives. The appetites we've allowed into our lives, and to begin the process of surrendering them to God and asking God for His strength and mercy, but we have got to take some steps to remove them from our lives. Probably one of the smartest men who has ever lived, his name is Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Solomon, when he began his rule in Israel, was approached by God and said, "I'll give you one thing. You ask of anything you want, Solomon, and it will be yours." The genie in the bottle with one wish. Solomon took his time to consider his response, and he asked God for wisdom. So the Scriptures say that no man has ever lived as wise as this man. The book of Ecclesiastes begins to talk about some of the investigations that Solomon made throughout his life. And he came to this conclusion in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." Our appetites, any appetites, Solomon is saying, that is outside of God's work in our lives, is like chasing after the wind, something that cannot be accomplished. So, this leaves me to wonder, and it might leave you to wonder too, what does God want to fill us with? If it really is just simply Him, what does this really look like? I'll tell you the truth. As we begin to purge our life of the appetites that are around us, here's what He will fill us with. His very own presence. The very presence of God. Some churches believe that when they come to the time of communion or receiving the Eucharist, that God's very own presence takes over that cracker and that wine or juice. I'll take it another step further. I believe the very presence of God desires to live and dwell in your heart, to guide every decision you want to make, to help you have greater joy and greater happiness than you could have ever imagined on your own. God desires to fill us with His presence. He doesn't desire for us to become more churchy. He doesn't desire for us to come here more often, though I do. I desire for you to come more often. I'm just saying it. I think that God doesn't necessarily just have this hunger for you just to do all the right things. You're missing the point. If that's the focus, He wants His presence to guide you from the very youngest in this room to the very oldest. He believes that God's Spirit, when it comes inside of you, will change you, completely transform you. I saw a story of transformation this week in looking at God's Word. It came from Acts chapter 9. We know this missionary by the name of Paul, but long before he was Paul, his name was Saul. And at the very beginning of the church, Saul did not like what the people that called on Jesus were doing. As a matter of fact, as a Jewish individual, he believed it was his call from God to destroy this church that was forming who called on Jesus' name. So one day, on his way to a city called Damascus, Saul was confronted by a blinding light. And inside of that light was the very voice of God. The very voice of Jesus Christ, in fact. After this blinding light, he did not eat nor drink for 3 days. Now we might think that's not a big deal. But I challenge you to do it this week. Take 3 days. Keep your eyes closed. Don't eat and don't drink. Saul was a broken man who recognized in that blinding light moment that there had been appetites in his life that were not of God. And he was confronted by it. Now, there was a man named Ananias. He's just identified as a disciple of Christ who also lived in this town. And he was told by the Lord to see Saul, to go there to see this man named Saul. Now, there's plenty of reason not to do this. His reputation went in front of him. Everyone knew that Saul had been coming there to kill Christians. So why would Ananias be told by God to go see this man whom he should have feared? But it's because Ananias had an appetite to do the things of God. Because Ananias had this deep hunger to obey the voice of God, he went and he found this man. This is what he did. Ananias went to the house. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, in fact, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul thought he was filled with God, but what he was confronted with was that he was filled with his form of God, which can also be one of those rocks. It can also be one of those appetites. And when he was confronted with God's Spirit, he received it. And God filled him. God transformed him. And it was through his emptied and broken life, once filled by God's Spirit, that thousands, millions, quite frankly, billions, all of us have found Christ, have found the truth because of that. So, what does your soul have an appetite for today? What are you hungry for today? Are you yearning for God's presence to flood you today? As being transparent as I can be, I want to tell you I'm hungry. I'm hungry to do God's will in my life. I'm hungry to be the husband I need to be, the father I need to be. I'm hungry to be the pastor you need me to be. I'm hungry to be filled with God's presence in a way that gives me greater confidence to know what we need to do as a church and how I need to be as a disciple of Christ. I want to experience daily worship in meaningful ways, and I want to be emptied of righteous pride and destructive thoughts that often flood my head. I'm hungry to walk in confidence, but not in mine, but confidence in the appetite that I have for God's presence in my life. As I was preparing this message in my office late Friday night, I had my iTunes playing on Scramble, the little DJ mode it has. And by God's presence and by God's perfect plan, this song came on. It's by a guy you might have first met on American Idol. His name is Chris Sly. It's a song called "Empty Me." And I thought, oh Lord God, we have got to hear this song this day. And this song has got to challenge us to move in a place where we get emptied of the things in our life, the appetites that have filled our soul, so that God can work through us and in us. As you're listening to the words of this song, I want to challenge you. Let God's presence speak to you. Let Him knock on your heart's door. Allow Him to reveal to you the appetites that are in your life right now that need to be acknowledged and removed. I would even challenge you to write those appetites down on your insert today and acknowledge that God wants to do something in and through them. Let's listen to the words of this song. The words will be on the screen for you as well. Father, as we listen to these words, will You come and reveal to us, me included, the appetites that are currently in our lives that don't need to be there. And help us, God, to be courageous to take steps in removing them today, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. They need to be surgically removed and allow God to fill you. To allow God to just radically transform how you view people. How you want to serve and minister. Allow God to fill you and transform you to be a better husband, a stronger wife, leader at work, servant, a teacher, whatever occupation you find yourself in. To allow God to absolutely, radically change you. You need to be, I need to be, emptied. I want to challenge us as a church toward three things. As we go throughout this week, I want to challenge you to allow the scripture readings and the prayers that are listed in this handout to be a part of your routine, and may it guide us toward three things. Number one, prayer. I want to be a church this week where we specifically are seeking God in moments of prayer. Secondly, I'd like for you to consider taking that to a whole nother level. The physical hunger that we experience in life can often lead us to a deeper spiritual hunger as well. God's Word speaks about fasting. As a matter of fact, it doesn't talk about it near as much as it should, because it was so common in that day, it didn't even need to be addressed. But we need to be people who occasionally fast. Maybe that's fasting from Facebook, fasting from television. Maybe it's fasting some meals. Whatever that fast might look like, it's giving up something so that you can take that time and give it the attention of God. Give your attention to God. So I want to call us to prayer. I want to call us to taking moments of fasting. And this leads us to taking some serious attention towards surrender. As we come to next Sunday and we begin to talk more about appetites and what we need to do to deal with some of these appetites in our life, I want to call us to being people who are surrendering to God's work in our life. I do. That might be a foreign idea to you. But we need to be people who are surrendering to God, because without it, we're just going to chuck more rocks into our cup. To be people who are truly surrendered means we keep those rocks flying out of that cup. And when we see one snuck in, we take care of it real quick. So I want to call us to be people of prayer, people of fasting, people of surrender. And I believe that as we do that, God's presence will fill us, radically change us, and challenge us. Now, we're going to sing a song. A song that I believe might lead us to our knees. Maybe the challenge has been clear enough to you that you want to come and pray at a place like this, a padded place where you can come and kneel before God and say, God, I want to be emptied. God, I want my appetites to be removed so that there's more room for you in my life. Maybe you're just hungry enough that you don't even know really what you want or need from God, but you know you want Him, and you want to come and pray. This place is available for all who would like to come today. There might be one. There might be dozens. That's not important. What's important is your obedience to hearing the voice of God and surrendering to do it. So, let's stand together as we sing this song, and you act and you move as God calls you deep within your spirit. Father, help the appetites in our lives to be solely fixed on You. Make us hungry. Make us thirsty. And satisfy that longing spirit inside of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.